morning we're going to continue our study of the Christmas story. We're looking at the second scene, which is focusing on Joseph. We're looking at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Last week we looked at Mary and her faithfulness and the image that we had of her and how she stands as a example for us to give back some small part of our faithfulness to him as he gave to us. But when I look at this section of scripture, and as you look at the gospel or at the story of his birth, you can see that God uses ordinary people in so many different ways. Mary and Joseph were just regular Joes, regular James, people that would be in our communities beside you and I, our neighbors. And the whole Bible is really full of stories that have to do with God saving, blessing, and using, quote, nobodies for great things. And it really ends up with his glory as the purpose and not ours. He took Abraham all the way back in the beginning of the Old Testament. And he took him from an obscure place in the Middle East and he made him the chosen one. He would be the one that would be the line, the lineage that each of us as believers in Christ would come from. He would be sovereign. Christmas, I think, is like that. We recognize that Jesus came in the middle of chaos, that he came to us and used regular, ordinary people, and it's a way for us to identify with Christ that we know that we can be a part of God's plan. And so as we go through this Advent season and we see and we anticipate his birth and his return, it's easy for us, and I think we need to remember these characters that were as a part of this story. So Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And the Bible reads this. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." May God bless the reading of his word. As we looked last week, we saw an event and we saw an explanation, and we saw what it is, the experience that it brings to us today. And as we read these words, you know, some of it doesn't make much sense given the culture that we exist in today. It really would not be that big of a deal today for a woman to be pregnant and another man to marry her, or to have had children out of wedlock and for another man to marry her, or any of those things are no longer cultural taboos. But back in the time of Joseph and Mary, they would have been absolute things that would have caused her probably to be stoned to death. And if Joseph would have married her, knowing that these things were going on, he would have been the subject of public shame as well. And so this is a big deal. We know that these things are true. We know that from looking at the history, the written history, the recorded history, that all the things that they found over in the Middle East, that these two references, these things that they talk about, the birth, that this Joseph existed and Mary existed. There are records of them. Just like, you know, how many of you have used Ancestry.com or some other type of way to trace back your genealogy? Anybody? I have. Just see where, you know, I want to find a king, actually, is what I'm looking for. Some royalty somewhere that I can move to and, you know, maybe not have to work anymore, huh? But that hasn't come to be for me. But the reality is that they are recorded in public records that they kept back at the time. And so they've been able to find and prove that Joseph existed. We know that this story is true. We know that the census was taken. We know that that Joseph lived. We know that Mary lived. We know that they had children. All of these things can be proven. And then we hear about this message that God gave to Joseph after he had decided that he was going to back out of this divorce. He wasn't going to do it publicly, but he gave back the dowry. He was going to be done, essentially, and walk away. And he was trying to figure out how he was going to do that. And as he slept, God came to him and said, through an angel, and said, look, this is all of me. You need to be obedient. You need to do this. And being a true person of God, he did. Why is that? What is it that we need to understand about this that would make them so anxious that they would want to pursue and to live this life, to be able to put themselves in jeopardy, to where she could be killed, he could be shamed and lose all of his standing in the community? Why would they want to do that? Well, number one, they had been taught from the time of Abraham and David that there would be a Messiah that would come, and that they would come of a virgin. So they had been taught this from the very beginning of their lives. They'd been passed down through the elders of their community. And so we see these truths. We see the fact that Mary is pregnant and the fact that Joseph had not been with her. And he knows that the only way that could have happened is through God. He believes the angel. And so he believes in that. And so the Messiah comes, and it comes in human form. And of course, there's misinterpretation as to what that Messiah was supposed to do, and we'll talk about that around Easter time, right? Because then we see how the Sanhedrin and all the Pharisees, they were so disappointed that he had come and he wasn't going to be the conqueror to get them out from underneath the Romans, that he actually was just there to save everyone, and they didn't have to come through and do all the things that they wanted folks to do to sort of check all the boxes to be a Pharisee. He came to give us hope. He came to give Mary and Joseph hope. And Joseph chose to be and to live through his part in this story. He's described, I think, in two wonderful ways in these verses. He was a man of God, it says. This is the Bible, folks. How would, you know, what if they put in there Chris Davis was a man of God? That would be pretty powerful, wouldn't it? And I believe everything that's in here is true, and so the fact of the matter is that he was a man of God. That's a truth that we can have and see for our will today. And he also was obedient. He did what God told him to do. When the angel came to him, and it was going to be tough, it was something that was going to cause pain to him, and something that could have cost Mary and him both their lives, their livelihoods, their standing, their ability to even be with the community in which they were raised. But they believed that God would make a way, because he had prophesied through Isaiah and others that this baby would come. And they did what? They named him Jesus in obedience and in satisfaction of those prophecies. You know, the real meaning of Christmas is really for us to sacrifice and surrender ourselves to God's will. When we go through all this Advent season and all the beautiful decorations and all the nice things, normally, you know, the choir sings and there's a play or some kind of... You've been seeing all those things as you've grown up or as you've been an adult in the church. But the reality is it's a reminder that we need to submit and be obedient to Christ in our lives if we hope to be ready when he comes back again. Just as the people, the Israelites, have been obedient to him all this time, and Mary and Joseph were the two that were chosen to be the avenue for them to be able to come to send Christ into the earth, you and I have an obligation to be obedient as well. And so as we light these Advent candles, as we put up the nativity scene to remember the humble way in which Christ came into the world, as we read these stories and we see Mary and Joseph and the real life ordinary people that were part of God coming into the world the first time, you need to recognize that you and I are the ordinary people that God is going to come back into the world a second time when he comes back triumphantly to claim his prize, to win the war. Because all the battles that you and I are fighting right now, we're fighting in the name of Christ. Everything that we do, we're doing for God. And God will recognize that, and he will reward us for it. But more importantly, his hope is being sounded out and lighted up in all the darkness that surrounds us. I don't know how you can live today and not see so much darkness. As Kathy said, it is almost overwhelming. Depression is at an all-time high. Mental illness is at an all-time high. People are just about on the brink of financial collapse. Many, many, many people are on the brink of financial collapse. This whole situation that we're in right now has just been the last straw in the fall of humanity. And we didn't get here overnight. This is not something that this virus by itself could have done. But we don't value each other. We don't have any compassion as a nation. I'm not saying you individually in this room, but as a nation, as a world, as a humanity, we don't value each other. Individualism has completely overwhelmed our world, our society. What makes it good for me? What is happy for me? How can I protect and get what I want, as opposed to looking and seeing what is God's plan? God's plan is for all of us to be safe. God's plan is for all of humanity to hear the gospel and to get serious about the real meaning of Christmas, which is to be obedient and sacrifice our will to God. We're going to be celebrating the communion table here in just a few minutes. And as we do that, we need to remember the sacrifice that Christ made, but also remember the sacrifice that he requested that we make. Just as Joseph and Mary were visited by an angel and they were told that they were going to be used and that their sacrifice was going to make a beautiful entrance into the world of Jesus Christ come to pass. As you sit here today, as you hear my voice on the internet, God is saying the same thing to you. Next week, as the girls and Joey get baptized, they are going to be acknowledging that they have publicly accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's not a small step, is it? Many people are afraid to even get in the water. You know, when I baptized my daughters, they were afraid to get in. They didn't know if I was going to let them back up or not. But the fact of the matter is that that's how we show our obedience. We show our obedience by coming to church. We show our obedience by signing on and watching this video. We show our obedience by reading the book of the Bible and reminding ourselves the hope that God has given to us. The promise that he made, that he is going to return, folks. And we got to be ready. And your neighbors need to be ready. Because if they're not, they're going to be left behind. There is a hell. Just as there is a heaven, and you believe that there's a heaven, there is a hell, and it is real. And it is not something that I want anyone that I know or love or that I've come in contact with in my life to ever have to experience. So all we can do is set the example, publicly pronounce our love and our faith in Christ, and live our lives the best we can. to exemplify him. As we have our invitation in this morning, if you don't know Christ, I'd like for you to come forward and I'll pray with you. If you're online, send a message so that we can get back in touch with you and walk you through the steps so that you can know Christ and so that you can be a Joseph in the world in which you live and be obedient and faithful to God. As we have our invitation in.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby